Here at the Pennsylvania Game Commission, our passion is wild. Tune in to our podcast, Call of the Outdoors, as we discuss all things related to wildlife, hunting, habitat, and conservation across the Keystone State. Hear from men and women who have a passion for the outdoors and who value and work to preserve our state's wildlife resources for current and future generations.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Call of the Outdoors, the podcast of the Pennsylvania Game Commission. I am super excited about today. We finally got one of our own here from our bureau here in marketing and strategic communications. We have Mr. Todd Holmes here, and we're going to talk about NASP, National Archery in the Schools Program. And, you know, Todd, when I came here to the Game Commission, Todd kind of took me under his wing and helped me get through the first 6 or 7 months and just showed me the ropes. Just a great, great guy. Been here for quite a while. We'll get to that. But he's also from the south of Interstate 80, God's Country, Perry County. And us guys from Perry County are pretty cool. Morning, Todd.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
You even got a haircut for this podcast. That's awesome.
Yeah, my wife said you have to look good even though you won't sound good. So,
well, appreciate you getting up early, getting over here this morning. I know you're getting excited. We have a real big event. You have a big event because this is what your year is really made of, and you do such a great job. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, why don't you give yourself an intro and, you know, what got you into hunting and how long you've been out there chasing. I know our bureau, pretty much everybody loves to get out there in the woods and chase things around and enjoys the sport that we're working for here and every bit of conservation.
Yeah, so I kind of got my start in really archery. I was 5 years old, and my parents happened to live right over the hill from an archery club. And so my dad enrolled me in a youth archery class on Saturday mornings in the winter, and kind of started there, and one thing led to another, and I kind of was good at it and liked it. And so we started doing some competitions, and next thing you know, I was winning a little bit and having a lot of fun. And my parents took me around to some IBO shoots, and I really got involved to 3D archery. Ended up, you know, shooting nationals, shooting worlds, doing pretty well. And I actually quit soccer to pursue archery. And of course, when you turn 12 in Pennsylvania, you're of course going to start hunting.
Yeah, these kids today don't realize how lucky they are, do they? I know. I mean, obviously, you have two boys, and you know, we had to wait till we were 12 to go out there.
Yeah, I look at where my kids are. You know, if I would have been able to start when I was 5 or 6, where I would have been when I was 12, but you know, we didn't have that opportunity. So
hell, I'd be retired by now.
Right? Yeah. So, but yeah, I kind of got into hunting then when I was 12 with my dad. Of course, you know, I was a pretty good shot with a bow by then. And archery's always been a big thing in my family. My dad had 3 brothers. They grew up shooting bow. So then that kind of just, you know, carried on in our family. So I, you know, took to it like the fish to water, and I shot through high school, and then I kind of dropped it in college because of college sports and whatnot. And but then I was lucky enough after finding a state job I kind of lucked into this position. I really hadn't heard about the National Archery in the Schools program before applying for it. But then once I applied for it and kind of learned a little bit about it, I kind of fell in love with the whole idea. And so now I've been here almost, a little over 8 years now. And, you know, conducting a state archery program that, you know, happens in our schools, introducing hundreds or thousands actually of kids every year to, you know, sport archery is a pretty cool thing to have for a job. So our program started when I came here. When I took over the position, I think there was 100 schools roughly in Pennsylvania, and today we're over 300, so it's been growing, and yeah, that's kind of how I got here. So
when I went to school back in right after the dinosaurs became extinct, we had archery in the gym class, you know, and we could bring our bows to school. But, you know, let's go back a little bit and just talk about, because I saw a post this summer, I think, that you had on social media. I think it was your grandparents up at the Bow Fest. Is that... I mean, that's how deep it runs in your family.
Yeah, so, excuse me, my dad's parents actually attended the very first Pennsylvania Bowhunters Festival. I can't remember the exact year. I think it's been going 50-some years now. And so they were at the very first one. Our family has been present at every single Bowhunters Festival since then. I think we've only missed maybe 2. One was due to a flood, and they canceled it, and one was COVID, they canceled. So, but every other Bow Festival since the... initial one we've been at as a family. So there's typically a group of maybe 50 of us there total with all the kids now.
We'll talk about the Bow Fest real quick. I mean, it's off subject, but like there's a lot of history there. I mean, Fred Bear has been there, and I mean, I remember when I was a kid growing up, like it was like Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty neat event. It's in Sullivan County, Pennsylvania. They do it at the fairgrounds there. It's kind of tucked in against this real steep mountain. They have moving targets, 3D courses, the running deers, their famous kind of target. It's at 40 yards, and it runs back and forth and turns around and bounces around. And so everybody has fun just flinging arrows at it all weekend. There's flying ducks and kids' competitions and everything like that. But the Holcomb family is the family that kind of started the running deer. And there's still some of their grandsons at this point that are running the deer. But it's just a great thing for all, you know, family members. My grandmother has been going there for as long as I can remember, obviously, since I've been little. And she shot into her 80s. She was still there shooting bow. And so it's just a cool life sport that your whole family can enjoy. And we're lucky here in Pennsylvania. We have so many, archery activities or events like that we can attend and, take your kids and family too.
We are lucky for those events. We're lucky for those local archery clubs. Even where we live, you got an archery club on both sides of the river that are just, and they're shooting from all ages, all kinds of competitions, all kinds of practice, and all kinds of mentors to show you how to do it. And that's kind of where we're gonna talk about here is your position here at the Pennsylvania Game Commission, because shooting sports is so important. It's a gateway to hunters. It's a gateway to the outdoors. It's a gateway for great competition, because anybody can shoot a bow. So let's talk about your position here at the Game Commission. And it's from inception to where we're at today and continuing to grow, and how important shooting sports is to conservation.
Yeah, I mean, my title here is Shooting Sports Outreach Coordinator, and that kind of, I wear a lot of hats, I guess is the best way to put it. But when I came here, it was really just an archery-centered position. It's still pretty heavy in archery, but we are branching out in other shooting venues. So we do have a student air rifle program that we started a few years ago. But we're also doing not only like archery in the school, but we're doing archery in our communities too. So we've partnered with DCNR. We've got a lot of their staff members certified as archery instructors. We've given them equipment through grants that they can conduct archery programs at the state parks, teach people how to hunt. We run an explore bow hunting program, which teaches people all the skills you need to learn to be a bow hunter. And then we have a USA Archery, Explore Archery program, which is kind of like a recreational archery, but it's fun for the kids. It's summer camp type stuff. So we really try to touch on all the different areas, whether you're an avid hunter or maybe you just want to go to your local state park and try archery for the first time. We give you all those options, in the state and across state. We're fortunate we have so many state parks here in PA as well. So I think there's 101 state parks in PA. Now, we don't have archery in all of them, but we have goals, I guess, so you can look forward to.
And we're going to talk about that a little later, but we are expanding a lot of those opportunities on, even on the game lands and places that we own, to include archery, and we'll talk about those ranges. But let's get into the weeds, because we got a big tournament coming up here for National Archery in the Schools program. And let's just talk about the program, kind of hit on it a little bit, and how many schools are involved. And if schools want to get involved across the state, it's pretty simple, and how they can go ahead and get that done.
Yeah, we've tried to streamline the process to get a school and actually enrolled into the program. So really all that it takes, if a school has an interest in starting a NAS program, they can shoot me an email, or they can actually even just go to our website. We have all of the information listed there. There's a commitment letter on there, and pretty much what the commitment letter needs to state is you're going to teach archery in school. That's it. So if a gym teacher has an interest in bringing an archery curriculum to their school, they can go on there, fill out the letter with the school's information, have the principals sign off on it and send it in, and they get a $1,500 grant from the Pennsylvania Game Commission towards the purchase of their equipment, just like that. So we make it really simple. We have other grants from some of our manufacturers. Easton's one of the big ones. So we also provide an additional grant on top of that initial $1,500. So we'll normally end up covering 2/3 of the cost of the equipment for any new school that enrolls. But once the school orders their equipment, it's a couple weeks, shows up at the school. They'll contact us, say, hey, we have our stuff. We'll send out a certified instructor to their school. They'll certify up to 12 of their staff members. It can be volunteers, parents. A lot of times we have parents who are interested in being coaches or whatnot. So we'll certify everybody in one day right there at that school, and then they're off and running.
Well, you know, talk about the equipment, because it's important, you know, for folks that don't know of how the equipment for NASP is simplified, and that any child that wants to get involved, it's no problem. I mean, you don't have to be able to pull 40 pounds or anything like that.
Exactly. So the NASP program utilizes the Genesis compound bow, which has kind of really made archery universal. You know, when we were growing up, to shoot a bow one year when you were like 10, you'd buy this bow, and then by the time you were 12, you kind of outgrew it. You couldn't shoot it anymore.
Or so, you anchored behind your ear because you shot a hand-me-down. That's just how we did it.
Exactly. So with the development and technology in archery over the last 15, 20 years here, they came up with a constant draw cam for the compound bow, which is this Genesis bow that we're speaking about. And what that allows you to do is you can set the draw weight at 15 pounds, and an adult can pick up that bow and draw it back to 30 inches, and it's 15 pounds. Or you can have a 10-year-old pick it up and pull it back to 22 inches, it's still 15 pounds. So, in other words, it allows one student to use the same bow as another student without having to make any adjustments to it. So that really lets the program be kind of one size fits all. So that bow revolutionized us being able to get archery into school programs without having to have custom equipment for each student.
That's awesome. And, you know, and just to hit on archery, you know, I remember we did the podcast with Corey Galvis, and he goes, I have to shoot a few arrows every day of my life. I have to feel that arrow going in the target. And that stuck with me. Like, he'll come home from work and under the headlights, go in and grab his bow and at least shoot a couple arrows. Cause that's when it's in your blood. And, you know, before we get into the tournament that's happening here this weekend, let's talk about what just happened at the Great American Outdoor Show with your NASP program. Cause it was that opening Saturday morning was pretty incredible to see the smiles on those kids' faces.
Yeah, so we have another branch of the NASP program. It's called the NASP IBO 3D Challenge. And so me being a 3D enthusiast, and I like 3D animals more than paper myself, so of course I wanted to see the kids in Pennsylvania have an opportunity to shoot some foam. So we partnered with IBO 3D. That's probably been 4 years ago, 5 years ago now. And we actually offer a 3D side to the competition. So there's a set of six Reinhardt targets, 3D animal targets. They're all different types of animals. They're staggered at different distances to replicate kind of a 3D course being an unknown yardage. And then they have the same score rings on them that the actual bullseye target does for the most part. So it gives the kids a chance to kind of learn to shoot something a little different, and also makes a good segue into hunting potentially. So we offer that tournament at the opening day at the NRA show here a couple weeks ago. I think we had 250 kids, something like that, attend. It's a pretty cool environment for the kids to shoot in. There's a giant arena. They have a huge crowd. And there's, you know, a lot of noise and excitement going on. So it's like a big deal for them, and it was great to see. We had so many kids come out for the tournament, and of course, my favorite part's always when we give the awards out, and it just smiles all the way around.
Well,
so,
well, and we're coming out of a crazy couple of years. I mean, we really are. I don't want to get in the weeds on that at all, but like, we just got done with that show. We traveled down to promote the Game Commission, you know, at NWTF, and to see the people that are coming to these events, and they want to get out again, and they're thinking about it. The excitement is back for a lot of people. I got goosebumps because I know turkey season's coming close, and I happen to see five gobblers in my driveway last night. Thank you. They always move in March, and they leave by, you know, opening day of turkey season. But it was awesome to see the enthusiasm the last couple shows we've been at, and we got the granddaddy coming up for you this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Our state tournament, Bullseye State Tournament, it's at State College here. This weekend, we have just under 900 kids pre-registered right now. So it's going to be a pretty big tournament after being virtual last year, and the year before our tournament got canceled the day before, which was a huge bummer. So I think there's a lot of kids that are going to be excited to get back in person at the state shoot. It is a spectacle to see. So we
you might have said, I don't remember, how many kids are coming to shoot?
So right now we're just under 900 pre-registered, but I assume we'll be close to 1,000.
Wow.
And you know, and all those kids shoot in one room in one day. There's 200 kids on the line at a time shooting. So when they all get the command to shoot, you know, it kind of sounds like it's raining arrows inside that place. So it's a really cool event. Kids have a blast. We give away a ton of cool stuff. Arrows get handed out. We give away targets. We give away bows, plaques, medals, trophies.
Scholarships.
And scholarships, yes. Yeah. So we're going to give away a record this year in scholarship dollars. We'll probably be around $12,000 in scholarships we'll give to these kids. So, and the cool thing about our scholarships with this program, it's not like a scholarship you might get from a different college or school for, say, basketball or baseball. These scholarships can be used to go to any school you want. So in the past, we've had kids win scholarships at our state tournament, and they've gone to diesel mechanic school, and they've paid for that. Or we've had kids go to two-year tech school or four-year school. We have kids that want to be doctors. So it doesn't matter. Whatever college you go to, these scholarships are good for. So it's a unique, you know, opportunity for our students.
That's awesome. And you know, I don't know all the names, and there's a ton of them. When you think of archery and you think of Pennsylvania, it's kind of like turkey calling. The best turkey callers that are competitive, now it's not apples to oranges. You know, if you look at all the records, Pennsylvania leads it. And in competitive archery, Pennsylvania has a lot of folks that have gone all the way to the gold medal in the Olympics. Pennsylvania, and when you look at activities, outdoor activities like that, like my world, turkey calling, you know, the best turkey callers in the country, Pennsylvania, you know, sends more people to that grand national stage than any state in the country. And archery's probably the same way. If you look at the amount of 3D champions, world champions, and the amount of, you know, people that have gone to the Olympics, you know, it just proves that if you put your mind to it, and archery is one of those things that you can work hard and take it as far as you want to.
Yeah, and we're fortunate here in Pennsylvania to, you know, kind of have all the resources around us to create those types of archers. So we have a ton. I mean, we have the largest archery retailer in the world in Lancaster Archery that's in our state. We have Kinsey's. We have a Cabela's. But we also have a ton of outdoor clubs or sportsman's clubs or archery clubs. So as I mentioned, I grew up over the hill from an archery club. And if it wasn't for that archery club being there, would I have ever picked up a bow? Probably not for a while anyway, not when I was five.
Is that Perry County Archers?
Yep, Perry County Archers, which is still functioning today. My kids are in the same archery class that I was in, like, I don't want to give away my age, but it was probably like 30 plus years ago. So
you're pretty young, so you don't got to worry about that. You got a lot of birthdays to go. But, you know, and that's another thing. If you're out there and you're thinking about this and any of this intrigues you, whether you're an adult or a kid, you know, go to your local archery shop or your local sporting goods store and find out where those clubs are, because there's people that are willing. I mean, how many NASP instructors do we have across the state that are volunteers?
I mean, there's a bunch of them. So we have what's called a basic archery instructor database. And right now in Pennsylvania, we have around 400 certified instructors, and that includes teachers, but there's also volunteers in there as well. So,
you know, just like hunter ed instructors, I mean, you have a rough guess how many hunter ed instructors?
I think last we checked, we were like 1,200 hunter ed instructors, 1,500, something like that.
I mean, that's close to 2,000 folks that are just with here at the Game Commission that are volunteers. We want to promote this. We want to promote the outdoor lifestyle. We want to promote archery. And, you know, feel free to reach out to us if any of this stuff interests you. And you know, that's one important thing as we look at the future of conservation. And, you know, obviously our biggest role here at the Game Commission is, you know, wildlife. I mean, we're your state's wildlife agency. And current today, I mean, hunting is a big part of the funding of wildlife, whether it be game species or non-game species. I mean, over 400 species fall under our responsibility, and we need to make sure that they're here, they have the habitat, and for the future. And meanwhile, you know, obviously promoting hunting and trapping and keeping people in the loop. But let's talk about NASP, and, you know, does NASP create hunters?
So the easy answer is absolutely. You know, of course, you always have kids that grow up in a hunting family, and they might be introduced to archery because mom or dad shoots a bow already, or they hunt. So those are the kids that are probably going to be hunters or introduced to hunting, regardless if they are in the NASP program or not. But there's a ton of kids. There's actually a survey done a few years ago by NASP, and it states that 20% of kids actually get into hunting or take up hunting because of NASP. So they didn't know about hunting, or they didn't have an interest in hunting, or mom and dad didn't necessarily hunt. But because they started shooting bow in school and learned how to shoot a bow and got good at it and enjoyed it, that kind of led them down that path where, you know what, I really like this. I might try shooting 3D then. And that's where we have the 3D side of things. And then they're like, you know what, I really enjoy this. I'm going to try hunting, I think. I'm going to take my hunter education. I'm going to go out. Maybe my dad will take me out, or maybe my grandfather, or maybe even just a mentor, you know, a friend of the family. So 20% of those kids are picking up, you know, a hunting license and going out and trying hunting just because they were introduced to archery through the NASP program. So it 100% creates new hunters for our state.
And that's awesome. And the other part of archery is that no matter what, archery equipment falls under the excise tax, and archery supports conservation coast to coast.
Absolutely. So many people don't realize or know that what the Pittman-Robertson Act is. So I can kind of give you a brief one over on that. But in 1937, Congress enacted a bill that would collect an excise tax on all firearms, ammunition, and archery-type tackle. So that excise tax is collected from every state every year from the manufacturer. So in other words, Remington and Hoyt and Matthews and East and all of those manufacturers pay an excise tax on all the goods that they sell. It goes into a giant pot of money that the federal government collects. And then it's distributed to the states based off of a formula of the state size and the number of hunting licenses sold in those states. So Pennsylvania is pretty blessed because we're pretty big geographically. We have a good sized state, and we also have a fair amount of hunting licenses that we sell. So we get a pretty large allotment of PR funds every year.
Just so you know, we're number two in the country.
Yeah.
And we should be proud of that. We really should. I mean, I know I get some letters once in a while saying we're tired of hearing that, but we should all be proud that we have that culture in this state.
Yeah, I mean, we have the folks, the outdoor lifestyle for a lot of our folks here in Pennsylvania that fund, you know, these programs, our agency. So without that, you know, we'd probably be lost, in all honesty. Right. So,
and that's why shooting sports is, you know, that those positions here at our agency are so important. And, you know, another part of it is, and I'm just going to lead this right down there, is our shooting ranges. And, you know, we're in process of a pretty big expansion on a lot of things, updates, and we're heading in the right direction. If you just want to, you know, don't give away all the secrets, but, you know, what we can talk about right now and where we're at and where we're heading, if you will.
Sure. So one of the priorities that, you know, kind of struck me when I started here is we had close to 30 rifle ranges across the state, and we had one archery range. And I kind of thought that was odd because Pennsylvania is an archery heavy state. We have a ton of archers. We sell a ton of archery licenses in our state. So it's like, well, why do we only have one public archery range? You know, so we kind of made it a personal goal that we were going to add some archery ranges for the public. So currently, right now, without giving away any of the new ones coming out, but we have three of them functioning right now. Fourth one will be ready here in probably a month. But what we're doing is we're putting in a public archery range that's handicap accessible that has 10, 20, 30, 40, and 50-yard targets. There's broadhead targets, specific targets at 20 and 30 yards. There's covered shooting lines. They're really nice ranges.
And they're gorgeous.
Yeah, we're putting them together with commercial-grade targets so they'll hold up. You know, the targets have roofs over them, so they'll last longer. And the great thing about our archery ranges is they don't require a hunting license or a shooting range permit to use. So they're free to the public. Anybody that wants to go out and use those is welcome to. So our rifle ranges, you have to have a shooting range permit or a hunting license to utilize those, but archery, it's free to anyone.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome. But we'd really like you to buy a hunting license if you're going to go use our archery ranges.
Well, sure.
You know, supports conservation.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, if you want to buy a hunting license or take Hunter Ed, or honestly, you can go buy a shooting permit if you don't have Hunter Ed. So any way you want to support our agency, you know, those dollars go back into making those ranges happen and keeping those ranges, you know, up to date and new targets and things like that. So.
Well, the other thing is, you know, when you buy a Pennsylvania hunting license, which, you know, hasn't had a price increase since 1999, there's also that's very significant in the match dollars or the allocation of our grant funding from the Pittman-Robertson Act for every licensed hunter. So it is important. And, you know, even I tell anybody the best way you can support conservation, no matter what state you live in, is to buy a hunting license. I mean, even if you don't hunt, if you like animals, I mean, because it is the tool. I mean, that's how we keep these game species healthy and build habitats and all that. And a lot of times folks don't understand that license, the true meaning of that, to, you know, of the privilege to go out there and enjoy the hunting lifestyle.
Absolutely.
So, you know, let's talk about range development, and we kind of did a little bit, but let's even beyond archery, if you will, in what's happening out there and where we're at and where we're headed.
Sure. So we've kind of had a different take here recently because we've had an influx of PR dollars. So we've had more, you know, resources to do some different things for our agency. So we realized that folks that want to go out and pattern their turkey gun, you can't really do that on our shooting ranges. We have range regulations that kind of prohibit shooting any type of shot. You can shoot a single projectile. So, like, you could take your shotgun out and shoot a slug, but you couldn't legally go to the range and shoot a shotgun with, you know, a shot pattern. So we always instructed people that you had to go to the game lands and set up a target at a safe backstop and kind of do it that way, which to me was kind of odd. And it's like, you know, why aren't we providing something for our turkey hunters? Or, you know, if you just want to pattern a shotgun, period, for waterfowl, whatever purposes. So I kind of sat down with one of our engineers, and we came up with an idea, you know, for a shot trap. We designed something, put it together. We had a welder fabricate us a prototype, and we went out and tested it, and it was a huge success. So you're going to start seeing some of those popping up in all of our shooting ranges.
You shot about $100 worth of your own TSS turkey loads, and now you don't have any to go turkey hunting.
I did, yeah. I'm having trouble trying to find some of it now. But to be honest with you, I couldn't believe how well, you know, the trap performed with all the stuff. I mean, we shot regular fire. Not that we kind of just wanted to test everything, right, to see how it would hold up. And even, like, you know, full metal jacket, 308 rounds didn't even, you know, it didn't flinch. So you're going to start seeing some shotgun patterning stations at some of our ranges. You're going to start seeing more pistol ranges at a lot of our ranges. So, you know, when the ranges were initially built here in Pennsylvania, we normally had a 25-yard pistol range and a 50-yard pistol range if you had a pistol range at the particular location you're at. And what we're realizing is there's not too many people that shoot a pistol at 50 yards. And I realized that when we built these ranges, it was really for our hunters. And we're starting to recognize now that, you know, there's a lot of people that own firearms that they want to practice with.
Sure.
That may not be for hunting purposes, which we're fine with because you're still contributing to our excise tax dollar. So we're going to start providing, you know, a 10-yard pistol range in a lot of different locations. And the ones that we have in already are, you know, hugely popular. A lot of times you'll go there and the 10-yard range is completely packed and the 25 or 50-yard range nobody's using. So you'll start seeing more of those. We're doing a lot of renovations to our current ranges, putting covered shooting stations, you know, over all of the shooting lines. We're upgrading our benches. We have a new design out with a lot of our benches that's really cool, kind of swivels. It's handicap accessible. So you'll see those starting to pop up whenever we redo some of these ranges and things like that. So we're just trying to, you know, we're giving back to the people that are, you know, funding our, you know, our PR allotment. And we realize that recreational shooters are a big part of that as well.
Right. And well, here's the other thing. I was thinking about this as we're talking, because obviously we're in a crazy time right now, and ammunition is tough to come by out there. And you know, if you target shooting is all about, it's the anticipation and trying to execute a shot and see where you hit. I mean, you want, if you're shooting a rifle, you want to hit, you know, as grouping together, keeping the bullseye. But with archery, you get down there and pull your arrows back out of your target. It's the same feeling. You don't smell the gunpowder and you don't need to wear earplugs, but you know, if you love the thrill of shooting and just practicing marksmanship, archery is another great tool. If you've never shot a bow, and I mean, anybody from young to old can go to their local bow shop and start out with a Genesis. And I mean, I guarantee you that if you fall in love with it, you'll be back to upgrade. And next thing you know, you're going to have, you know, the top of the line, and you're going to shoot. You can walk out on your porch and shoot anywhere. That's the cool thing about archery.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I kind of went through that, which I think most archers do. You'll start with, you know, a small compound, maybe the Genesis, and then you move to a bigger compound you might be able to hunt with. And then you'll eventually maybe get to the point where it's like, yeah, you know, I did the whole compound thing. I want to try something new. I want to challenge myself. So you might buy a traditional bow, a longbow, a recurve, something like that, and then start shooting, you know, the closer distances, you know, because for the longest time when I was younger, you wanted to shoot 50, 60 yards. That was cool. And you're right, watching the arrow fly is is pretty cool. You don't get really to do that when you're shooting firearms. So the mystical flight of the arrow, as Ted says, is pretty cool to watch. So, you know, being able to do that and then watch it kind of transform into not just a hobby, but then kind of a lifestyle for a lot of folks is really what kind of pulls them in and keeps them. So, you know, obviously that's what's happened to me.
Well,
so,
well, to quote probably the reason that the reason we're sitting here today, Fred Bear, I mean, he's my absolute top of my list idol. Archery isn't how far you can shoot, it's how close you can get. And we have to remember that as archers. I think that's one of the most important things that you can learn as an archer. It's okay to go out there and practice long range for hunting situations because it makes you a better short range shooter. And that's what archery is all about. I mean, that when we go out there in the woods, we want to get as close as we can. I think back to that a lot. And by the way, a lot of folks don't know that Fred Bear was from Pennsylvania. So we should, you know, everybody thinks he's from Michigan, but he's actually shot his first deer, you know, not too far from Harrisburg, west of Harrisburg.
Yep, that's right. And I didn't know that until about 3 years ago. So Fred Bear's a Pennsylvania native, which is pretty cool.
We should have known that.
Oh, he should have. I felt like that should have been like elementary school. We learned that.
Well, you know, as we're coming to an end, obviously we got to get going. You got to go get ready. You got 1,000 kids coming to state college here in a few days. But to find a list of all the ranges in the state, if you can tell our folks where they can head.
Yeah, so if you get on our website, you'll be able to go on the bottom. There's a quick link, to shooting ranges, and it'll bring up our maps, and you'll be able to see. I think it breaks it out by region even, so you can select your region and then pull up the map for the game lands in your area. And it typically will show you what ranges we offer, whether it's an archery, shotgun, pistol, or rifle. And it also tells you the different yardages that, you know, we have for rifle ranges as well.
And we're going to do some more awareness on the ranges this year in the hunting trapping digest. And you know, we're not good at flying our own flag. I mean, the Game Commission wears a lot of hats and does a lot of great things. And you know, NASP is one of them. That's why we wanted to have you on, because you know, the event that's fixing to happen at State College, and I encourage people to, you know, tune into our social media pages, and they'll see a lot of what's happening up there. I know that you and Tyler worked on a video a few years ago that's really awesome, that really describes NASP. And, you know, other than that, anything else that you want to talk about? I mean, you want to brag about, or you want to talk about your haircut before we go?
No, I mean, my hair's... You know, it's falling out, so I'm just happy I have hair to cut, I guess.
I think well, Bob D'Angelo, who is one of the editors at Game News, he wins the award for best hair here in the agency. I tell him that every day. But I think when he retires, you're going to take his place.
Well, I mean, I just hope that maybe when he retires, I'll still have hair. We'll work on that.
Well, Todd, thanks for coming on this morning. Thank you for what you do for the Pennsylvania Game Commission. Thank you for what you do for conservation, and thank you what you do for National Archery in the Schools program, and just getting these kids involved, putting smiles on faces, and keeping that tradition going and just rocking and rolling here in the state of Pennsylvania.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. And I always say that, you know, I'll die a happy man knowing that I was part of the next generation of the archers here in Pennsylvania. So that's my lifelong kind of goal, and hopefully we can continue to make that happen.
Yes, sir. Thanks again, and good luck this weekend in State College.
Thank you.
We'll see you there. On behalf of the Pennsylvania Game Commission, thank you for tuning in. And we hope that every day of field is filled with memories to last a lifetime. We are committed to leave conservation and wildlife better for the future. And we hope you can tune in next time to the PGC's Call of the Outdoors.